We're praying to our Father in heaven, the God of creation, the God who loves you more than you could ever understand. And that's okay with me, because he does. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. How long? Do you believe it? Do you believe that this morning? Hallelujah. Be seated. Hallelujah. It's a day where a pastor has to lift the church up and keep us tight. And a day where if it was just me, I would fail. Amen. If it was just me talking to you, I would fail. But it's not just going to be me talking to you. It's going to be the Word of God. Amen. Amen. The Word of God that heals. Amen. The Word of God that comforts and supports us. Amen. The Word of God where we get our strength. Amen. And the promises. Can I get an amen? Thank you, Lord. Let's read together. Psalm 119. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. Hallelujah. I will not forget your word. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. We'll read together. Give me understanding and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Everybody say, make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Hallelujah. Amen. That's God's promise and God's word. The Boy Scouts are going to be here the 12th, and one thing that I'm going to tell them, and I'll give you a little insight, is I'm going to ask them to please not get their information from God, from people who do not know God. Amen. Don't get their information about what God is and what God says and who's allowed in God's house from people who don't go to God's house. Amen. That's the one thing I pray. Welcome today. Hope you enjoy. You can relax. Nobody's going to be bugging you and passing nothing, and nobody's going to be looking at you. And if you talk a little bit, that's okay too. Okay, enjoy, because we want you to enjoy church. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Whew. Thank you. Right, there we go. I like to see it. Hallelujah. This book changed my life. Amen. When I found this Bible, I read so many other little books, and books of faith, books from other pastors, books that led me to the Bible, books that led me to Scripture. But when I really found this book and I really got in, it changed my life, Kim. It did. I found out that I was not alone. I found out that whatever I was going through, God was going through with me. I found out that God had a promise for getting me through. And I found out that God had a purpose for me to walk through it with Him. Sometimes we have to walk through it with Him. He won't solve your problem like that, because then you'll forget that He did it. But sometimes He'll take you through the problem with Him. You'll go through the ups, you'll go through the pain, you'll go through the anguish, because He wants to walk you through it all, to let you know that He's carried you through all of it. So when you look back, you can say, He was with me every minute. Because if He gave you every promise like that and every prayer like that, you would take Him as a microwave God. You wouldn't give Him the love and the respect. You wouldn't see all the mighty things He does for us. Amen. Hello. So when I found this book, it changed my life. It changed who I was. I'm still the same country western singer that plays my guitar, but He changed me in here. He brought me to where I want to bring other people, to the peace, to the strength, to a life-changing power that you would say, I don't believe it happened to me. Where doors were open that I could never believe that doors were open. Where I found good success where I didn't believe I would find it. I found favor with people because God taught me how to act, how to treat others, how to talk to others, how to do my job. All these blessings. Amen. This book changed my life. This book gave me hope. Anybody get that? Say amen with me if you ever got hope from this book. This book has given me strength, Greg. Strength to do things that I thought were impossible. Some might say to me, and I've got talked to people, I don't know what you're going to say today. I said, I don't either. But God knows. God is going to lead me. That's why if I preach the word today, it will heal you. Amen. It will lift you. Can I get an amen? You got to trust. God has given me peace. Amen. I remember when I was a young boy saying, I don't know what I'll do if my mother ever passes away. Well, guess what? She passed away. God carried me through. That's when my father left me, and I passed through. God carried me through, and I lost my brothers. Last year I lost my brother Peter. I didn't know what I was going to do. God carried me through because there's an extra promise. See, it doesn't end, amen? It doesn't end, amen? There's eternity following, amen? There's hope that follows, amen? We're here today, but we're looking at the promise of tomorrow, amen? And I believe that my mother and my father and my brothers are waiting for me someday. Amen. Someday they're waiting. And that's the promise that I have that goes far beyond any promise that man can give to me. Amen. That's where my hope is. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So this book sustains me. Now listen, my wife and I sing at nursing homes every day, every day. And I know Jesus. Jesus says, pray and they'll be healed. Jesus says, pray for the sick and they'll be healed. And I'm telling you every day, Greg, you've been there many times. Every day I want to go up to somebody with Alzheimer's and put my hand on their head and say, Lord, heal them. But I know that I can't. I want to heal every sick person I see in that home. Get up and walk again. Be with your family again. Remember your children again. But I can't do that. So I have one other thing that I can do. I can give them love. I put my arm around them. I touch them on the face. I sing a song that moves their heart. I give them all of God that's within me to give. Amen. And if I pray for people and they're not healed, I don't say God is wrong. I say, no, it's not my calling. It's not my place to heal. I want to heal everybody like you want to heal everybody. But it's not our calling. Amen. God knows the answers to all the questions. We don't know. We don't even know the beginning of the questions. Amen. Love is the healer. I can heal everybody with love. If we just love one another, what did Jesus say? Love one another as you love yourself. That would be the healing. If you looked at the world today and you saw people loving each other like they loved themselves, people wouldn't know what to do with themselves because there would be no fighting, be no wars, no anger. People would be falling over themselves to try to do something for somebody. No, let me do it. No, let me do that. No, let me. I want to do that. That's what love does. Amen? It creates peace. So I couldn't heal these people in the nursing homes. And you say, well, Pastor, you believe in the book. You betcha I do. I do. But God didn't say I could heal everybody I talked to and prayed for. But God, because God has another step. You see, another step that I know about, but another step that he knows more than me. Amen. He knows. He knows. Are you with me? I am not the healer. We meet somebody, praise God, I am not the healer. Eternity with God, with our loved ones, is the greatest gift of all. Amen. The greatest gift of all. We don't see that. Right now we want to see this life. We want this to be happy. We want it all to be full of joy. We want it all to be full of peace. We want that. But God says, it's not the way that this world is. But we have a promise that's greater than this world. We have a promise of beauty beyond our imagination. Hallelujah. Where we all, say that with me, where we all are healed. Healed. The Bible says no more tears, no more sickness, no more disease, no more falling down, no more fighting because somebody won the presidency and they didn't like them. People get caught up in things that are so far away from them that they forget to look in their home. There's enough to do at home, amen? There's enough to do today with you two, Jackie and Gray, that you could love each other so much more than who cares if Trump's president or who cares if somebody else said something or who cares? See, because love heals, amen? When you start to love one another, you stop worrying about things you can't control because that's going to make you sick. And who wants to make you sick? The devil, amen? But with God, you see, we have a promise. Hallelujah. The greatest gift of all, his love for eternity. That's why people should come to church, to hear about God, to hear about his love, not about an opinion, not about anything else except the power of God in our lives. We all face those days. We all know that we're going to face today when we're going to see him face to face. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm going to read from the Bible. I'm going to read from his word. Can I get an amen? For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in heaven. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent, right here today, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up in, by life. Now he, and he is in capital letters, that means who? God. God has prepared us for this very thing, is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. We have a guarantee from God, the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen? Now listen to this next four lines of the Bible and understand and listen. This is the most... Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I don't have to exaggerate on it. It is what it is. It's beautiful. Bible says, for we are always confident. That's a great word. Knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That's the promise. As long as we're here, we have to believe in God in faith. Amen? We have to walk in faith through every trouble. But the second, the last second that we breathe the breath here and the next breath we take, we are aware in the presence of who? God. Amen? Now the Bible also tells us that the angels will come. Talk about Lazarus and carry us away. Amen? These are promises. These are not promises that we like to think about when we're young, or promises that we ever like to think about for that matter. But these are the promises, the greatest gift of all, eternity with God. These are the things we're looking forward to. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, who would not want that for their loved one? Amen? I cannot, and I know I was talking to some folks Friday, and we said, I can't imagine, and I don't want it, but I can't imagine, so somebody who doesn't believe in God faces these situations in life. When they lose their mother or their father or their brother, how do they face them without the power of the Holy Spirit, without the comfort of God inside, knowing that this is not the end? For to be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. God bless you. Don't steal anybody else's blessing. I need a bit more than anybody. Bless everybody. There we go. We come together today in love. Amen. We come with a heart sad, knowing that we're going to lose a sister, and knowing that our friend is going to lose a wife in this world for a time. But we know that that's temporary also, because someday he will be with her again. Amen. And that's the joy. So we do carry sadness. The Bible says we mourn with those who mourn, and we praise those who praise. Amen. So we know that we're going to walk there, but we understand also that the promise isn't today. Amen. The promise is for tomorrow. Amen. This book, I will not doubt this book for one second, for one minute. I will not read these promises in doubt, because God has me in his hands. Amen. He is God. Amen. He is God, and he has the answers. And his love is the greatest gift of all, and we can share that love, and we're sharing it. I already feel it today. I feel it by everybody who came. Kim and Gary had plans. Oh, by the way, they're great grandparents now, by the way. Oh, you're grandparents. Gary's father, Bill, is a great grandparent. Huh? You guys laugh at me all the time. Huh? They heard what the church was feeling, and they said, we're getting dressed, we'll be right there. And here they are, Bonnie, with them today. And your support and your love means a lot to all of us, see? Because last week I said, we need each other. Can we need each other every week? You know, you need Marilyn, Marilyn needs you. We need to pray. We need to see faces and bodies that are praising God. Amen. This is not a social club. This is a club where we come and praise God and love God and grow together in God. And so when we walk out the door, we tell others about them. We tell our friends about God. We tell the children about God so that they can have the same hope that we have. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just pray together. Let's just pray again. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom Thine is the power and the glory. Hallelujah. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. All the joys. All the joys and the peace. To again see someone you lost years ago. To look at them and hold them again. All the joy in the heart. Unspeakable joy. Unspeakable. Pure, with no tears, no sorrow. It's what the Bible promises us. Forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. To be in a presence so wonderful. That's why we love Him. That's why we gave our hearts to Him. Because He first loved us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We ask you, Lord, to help us through this time, to keep us strong for each other, to love one another now, the greatest gift of all, where love never fails. Let us just love one another. Let us know, Lord, that sometimes words are not needed. We don't need the words, just a hug. Just a hug. Just a touch. That love carries us through as Christians and fellow citizens with God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the peace that surpasses our understanding, and for the strength that surpasses our understanding, and for the joys. Thank you, Lord, for your word and your promises. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Hear our prayer, O Lord. Hallelujah. Can you sing it? O Lord, hear our prayer. Everybody say, peace with God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Take your shoes off and sit a while. Thank you, Father. Johann Wolfgang von Goethe. I knew. G-O-E-T-H-E. He was a German writer-poet, described the Book of Ruth as the loveliest complete work on a small scale, called the crown jewel of the Old Testament. Hallelujah. The Book of Ruth starts to separate the Old Testament and the laws to the new. Amen. It starts to be a new change now, and it starts with the Book of Ruth. And I'm going to just help you with to understand as we read it. I'm going to read Ruth. It's just an amazingly beautiful story. Hallelujah. Ruth means friendship or female friend. Amen. Now you're going to read about her mother-in-law. Her mother-in-law was Naomi. That means pleasant, delightful, lovely. Those are the literal means. It means pleasant and delightful. And sometimes you know what their names mean might add to the story. But I'm going to read a little of it today because it pertains to us. It pertains to God. Amen. And it shows you how trusting in God is a blessing. It shows you that if you trust in God, He will make your way prosperous. Amen. This story is such a beautiful story, and I hope maybe you'll go home and read it again and again, because it should be a movie. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judea, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. Ephratus of Bethlehem, Judea. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. Now they took wives of the women of Moab. Now they took wives that were not, amen, of the faith of the Jewish faith. Amen. They took wives, Gentiles. Amen. Are you with me? They took wives of the women of Moab. Hallelujah. Gentiles. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the woman survived her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughter-in-law. Daughters-in-law. How many? Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. She hears that back in Judea, back in Israel, they now have food. You see, there was a famine, and now they heard they had food, so she says, let's go back. Therefore, she went out from the place where she was, and her two daughter-in-laws with her, and they went on their way to return to the land of Judea. And Naomi said to her two daughter-in-laws, go, return each to your mother's house. The Lord dealt kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. And she said, the Lord grant you that you may find rest, each in the house of her husband. She's saying, go back to the houses where your husband's family lives. Go back. You don't have to be with me. She's telling him to go back home there. She said, you've treated me really nice. I appreciate it. But you can go back. So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, surely we will return with you to your people. But Naomi said, turn back, my daughters. Why will you go after me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourself from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. She blamed God. Many times in our life, and I bet you all done it, when thing happened there, you did what? You blamed God. Amen? She thought that God had punished her and had her husband die and her sons die. Amen? She blamed God. That's a mistake we make that we need not make. Amen. That's simply just said. We don't need to make that mistake, Sergio. She blamed God. There's so many reasons. For one reason is life. And then the devil might have had a hand in things. Amen. But their choices, maybe the choices they made when they went to Moab, maybe that caused a sickness. There's so many things that could have happened that caused the natural death of them. But she chose to do one thing. What? Blame God. Hallelujah. Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. And to who what? Her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Listen to what she said. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and I will be buried. The Lord do so to me, and also more, if anything but death parts you and me. What a commitment, amen? A foreigner turning to who? Our God. Five great words. Your God is my God. Hallelujah. When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. Now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem. And it happened, they finally reached Bethlehem, and it happened when they came to Bethlehem that all the city was excited because of them. And the women said, is that Naomi? Everybody was happy, Naomi. But she said to them, do not call me Naomi, but call me Mara. M-A-R-A. Literally means bitter. Listen to what she says. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. Again claiming that God was the reason. Amen. She said, I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has afflicted me? Amen. She's not going to find the answers as long as she keeps blaming God for it. Amen. We do that all the time. She takes her eye off of life and she blames God. She did it three times already. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, was with her, who returned from the country of Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. There was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. So Ruth the Moabitess said to her, Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him, in whose sight I may find favor. So she said to her, go, my daughter. Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." Listen to how they greeted each other. How beautiful is this? "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless you." What a beautiful greeting. Then Boaz said to his servant, who was in charge of the reapers, "Who's this young woman is this?" So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, "It is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. And she said, 'Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves.' So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "You will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field." What did he tell her? "Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young woman. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn. So she fell on her face, hallelujah, bowed down to the ground and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner?" Amen. How did she find favor? Because of God. Amen. Because of Naomi. He knew. And when he said to her, "Don't go to another field," he's saying to her, "Don't go to somebody else's field. Don't go to another man's field." He's saying, "You stay here. You stay with me. You stay right in my field." He understood. He knew who Naomi was. Amen. He knew that Naomi was his brother's wife. Are you with me? And when she fell on her face and bowed down, that is showing absolute just honor. Amen. She fell down and showed humbleness in the sight of him for what he said. "Why have I found favor in your eyes?" And Boaz answers and said to her, "It has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law." Ladies. "For your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. And how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth and have come to the people whom you did not know before." Listen to what he says to her. "The Lord repay your work." Hallelujah. Somebody says that to you. "The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given to you by Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." Hallelujah. The foreigner has come under God's wings, and she was accepted. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Then she said, "Let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants." Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, "Come here, sit, eat of the bread, and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed parched grain to her, and she ate and was satisfied. And this is four words that are really beautiful. Listen. She ate and she was satisfied and kept some back. We're going to hear that again in a minute. When she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. Also, let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her." Favor. So she gleaned in the fields until evening, and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley, about 3/5 of a basket. Then she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law said that she had gleaned. So she brought out and gave to her what she had kept back after she had been satisfied. She went back to her mother-in-law and saw all she had, and Ruth took out what she kept back. In other words, she didn't eat everything she was given. She kept it back, and why did she do that? To give it to her mother-in-law. Amen. To give it to Naomi. Amen. She remembered. She didn't just take. She held that back. What a beautiful thing. Amen. Hallelujah. I think it is. So she brought out and gave to her what she kept back after she had been satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where have you been gleaning today? And where did you work?" And then she said, "Blessed be the one who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be the be of the Lord, who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead." Finally, Naomi is blessing the Lord again, amen, who has not forsaken his kindness. So the day before, she blamed God for everything. Now she's saying, "Blessed is God who has not forsaken his kindness." Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, God is good. Amen. God said, three times God could have just walked away, but said, no, he didn't. And Naomi said to her, "This man is a relation of ours and one of our closest relatives. Ruth the Moabitess said, he also said to me, 'You shall stay close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young men, and that the people do not meet you in any other field." Amen. There you are again, telling her you don't want to go to some stranger's field. Amen. You don't want to be there. Now you found, God has found favor. She says, "So stay close to the young women of Boaz to glean until the end of barley harvest and wheat harvest." And she dwelt with her mother-in-law. Now Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you that it may be well with you? Now Boaz, whose young woman you were with, is he not our relative? In fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor." Now listen, this is really interesting when you read this the first time and you don't understand it. It's really interesting. "Therefore," she says to Ruth, "wash yourself, anoint yourself, put on your best garment, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies. And you shall go in, uncover his feet, and lie down, and he will tell you what you should do." Now, if you just read that, you say, what did she just tell her to do? Amen? That's crazy. But if you just study and you read, it says, and I'm going to read right from my notes so you understand how beautiful this Bible is for anybody that wants to understand. And it says in the notes, "Naomi's advice seems strange." Amen? But she was not suggesting a seductive act. In reality, Naomi was telling Ruth to act in accordance with Israelite custom and law. It was common for a servant to lie at the feet of his master and even share a part of his covering. By observing this custom, Ruth would inform Boaz that he could be her kinsman redeemer, that he could find someone to marry her or marry her himself. It was a family business, nothing romantic. Hallelujah. That's what it is. Amen. This was a custom. She wasn't going there for any other reason but to do what the Israelite customs. So Boaz understood immediately. Amen. And when you read it the first time, you say, what was she doing? And she said to her, Ruth said, "All that you say to me to do, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her to do. And after Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. And she came softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled and turned himself, and there was a woman lying at his feet. And he said, "Who are you?" So she answered, "I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative." Then he said, "Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request. For all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. Now it is true that I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of a close relative for you, good. Let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you as the Lord lives. Lie down until morning." Hallelujah. It's very simple. It's a closer relative. Do you all know what that means? Boaz had an older brother. You see, the custom, the older brothers, it's all in the age. And he said, no. He said, "I can't do that because I have an older brother. And if he doesn't do it, I will do it." Amen. He told her. And he called her a virtuous woman. Amen. He looked at her and said, "You have blessed me." You see why? Because she was servitude to him. She got to his feet and laid at his feet and showed that respect. Amen. And showed that kind of compassion. And that's why he said, "You are greater to me. You're not a foreigner. And here you are laying at my feet to do as I ask you. You have shown me more blessing. You have shown me more respect than any of these. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you. So she answered, I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative. Hallelujah. He did that. And he said, lie down until morning. Now listen. So she lay at his feet until morning. And she arose before one could recognize another. That means she rose before it got loud enough for people could see who she was. Amen? Then he said, do not let it be known that the woman came to the threshing floor. Also he said, bring the shawl that is on you and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 ephahs of barley and laid it on her. And then she went into the city. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, is that you, my daughter? Then she told her all the man had done for her. And she said, these 6 ephahs of barley he gave me. For he said to me, do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law. Hallelujah. Then she said, sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out. For the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day. Praise God. Now Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there. And behold, the close relative of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz said, come aside, friend, sit down here. So he came aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit down here. See, he's bringing the group now, amen? He's bringing what? Witnesses. He's bringing 10 elders, 10 elder Pats, all going to sit down. Can you imagine if 10 elder Pats were praying together? We would all have to sit down. Praise God, because the church would be moving in the spirit. So they sat down. Hallelujah. Then he said to the close relative, Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, sold the piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. And I thought to inform you, saying, buy it back in the presence of the inhabitants and the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is no one but you to redeem it, and I am next after you. What did he tell him? What did he just tell him? He just said, there's a piece of land that Naomi sold. Amen? That's what he told him, right? That's all he told him, right? I liked it. And he said, there's no one but you to redeem it, and I am next after you. And so the brother said, I will redeem it. Boaz said, oh, yeah, okay. On the day that you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, by the way, just saying, you must also buy it from Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance. Left that out before, didn't he? You see, if he buys the land, he also has to include Ruth. And to honor Ruth's husband, who is family, amen, he has to give an inheritance to Ruth and the children, amen, anybody else after that. See, he sort of left that out at first, praise God. He said, Boaz said, on the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also buy it from Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to perpetuate the name of the dead through its inheritance. And the close relative said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I ruin my own inheritance. You redeem my right of redemption for yourself, for I cannot redeem it now. He's saying that he had children, amen? And he understood that if he bought this and had to share in the inheritance, it would also come out of his children, amen? His children would lose some of the inheritance that he had, and he wasn't willing to do that. He wasn't willing to have his children have to share in the inheritance and have to give more. So that's why he said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I ruin my own inheritance. Means for him and his children. And he tells him, you redeem it. Now, this was the custom of former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging. To confirm anything, one man took off his sandal and gave it to the other. And this was confirmation in Israel. Therefore, the close relative said to Boaz, buy it for yourself. So he took off his sandal. And Boaz said to the elders and all the people, you are witnesses this day. And I have bought it all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's from the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, I have acquired as my wife, to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from anything his brethren and from his position at the gate. And you are witnesses this day. And all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman who is coming to your house like Rachel and Leah, the two who built the house of Israel. And may you prosper in Ephrath and be famous. Be famous in Bethlehem. May your house be like the house of Perez, where Tamar, both of Judea, because of the offspring. Because of the offspring. One more time. Because of the offspring which the Lord will give you from this young woman. Wow. May you be famous in Bethlehem. May you prosper. May your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judea, because of the offspring which the Lord will give you from this woman. So Boaz took Ruth, who was a foreigner, who gave his life to God. Amen. She gave her life to God. She was a Gentile. She was not of the Israel. Amen. Remember, Israel was chosen to do what? Tell the people about God. Were they special? No. They were chosen to do what? Tell the people about God. They were not special. They were chosen to do that job. Amen. The Gentile, Ruth. Loyal to Naomi, who gave her heart to who? God. Who's God? Naomi's God. Who's God? Our God. Amen. Who chose to give her heart to God willingly. Amen. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And he went into her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the woman said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a close relative, and may his name be famous in Israel. And may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him." Then Naomi took the child and laid it on her bosom, and she became a nurse to him. Also the neighbor woman came. The neighbor woman gave him a name, saying, "This is a son born to Naomi." And they called his name Obed, O-B-E-D, which means servant. Obed was the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of David. The book of Ruth is the beginning of the days of Jesus, amen. The book of Ruth is where the Bible starts to really turn to Jesus. The miracles of God, taking from the lowest, the humble of the most, Gentiles coming to God, raises her up and gives her a son, and that son has a son, and that son becomes David. Three generations, amen. There's grandparents here today. Your father is a great grandparent. Obed is a great grandparent of David. That's how it works, amen. That's how God works. That's how God raises the humble, amen. God raises up the humble. Those who serve him, those who love him are blessed, amen. We are blessed in this day. We are blessed today. We need to understand that we need to love one another. Really, love one another as Christians, as fellow Christians. As Jesus looks on us, we need to look on others the same way. We need to forgive others the same way. We need to accept others the same way. We need to rejoice together. We need to come together. We need to build this house in his name. Let that light that is coming right through the window right now shine out there where people have to know the name of Jesus, because there's healing and power and love in the name of Jesus. And all are welcome in this house. Give them praise, church. Thank you, Lord. The book of Ruth. I love that story. I'm glad you're all here for that.
Amazing grace. Unmerited favor. He loved us before we loved him. He went on that cross for us, so that forgiveness of our sins, so that we could be right and we could be accepted. Accepted into heaven with him, with those that we have gone before us, that we could be reunited with them. His promise, his love, the greatest love of all. And he simply asked in this church this morning that we do this in his name, in remembrance of what he has done and what he is going to do for us. Hallelujah.
so much to be thankful for today, brothers and sisters. Just be thankful. Be thankful and enjoy this day as it's been given to you. We say every day that tomorrow's not a guarantee. We need to just hold on to that and just enjoy each day as a gift from God. And those that are with us as gifts from God, and those that we love, and our children and our grandchildren, are just simply gifts from God. Though we can't be with them all every minute, and though we do disagree at times, we need to smile and laugh about that. Because the disagreements are meaningless compared to the love that we share. Hallelujah. There are times we have to walk away from all that and just pray to God and let God have it, and let God have it His way. And just enjoy all that we have. Don't let the aggravations and the anger cause sickness to get inside of you. We don't have time for that. There's too much joy to enjoy. Too many things around us that we can do. So we let that go. And take the greatest love we've ever received from God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Everything that we pray for and everything that we hope for is because of Jesus. And He only wants us to ask and redo this in remembrance of Him in this church. In Jesus' name. The Bible says we are covered in the blood of Christ. When the Father looks down and sees us, He sees us covered in the blood of Christ, His Son. And He knows that we love Him. He knows that we accept Him. Hallelujah, and that we follow Him. He shed His blood on this earth for the redemption of our sins. And He asks that we do this in remembrance of Him. There will be a day, brothers and sisters, when each one of us will meet Him face to face. There will be that day that will come, that we will be absent from the body and present with the Lord. And on that day, we will no longer need faith, for we will see and we will be able to touch and feel and look at our God. The God of the Bible, the God of love. That's our hope. That's our promise. That we will all face that day. And face it with joy. With knowing that we fought a good fight. And now we're in heaven and wait upon those that we love who are still traveling the journey. It's another victory with God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Do you see Him face to face? Just imagine how beautiful that is. How breathtaking, how awesome it is. Awesome. To be there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible says we can't even comprehend how beautiful it is. No eye has seen or ear heard the things that God has prepared. How beautiful a place. So all your thoughts are just so limited. And God, so awesome. Thank you, Lord. We should not wish to go there. We should not want to. We wait for our time to go. And when it's time to go, we will see Him. And then when we love, we'll know that they loved. And we love and know that we're where we are. The comfort is knowing where they're going when they leave us, because we will follow. That's the comfort of God, even in that time of pain and sorrow. We know where they're going, and we know that we will go too there. Our promise to our Father who art in heaven. Thank you, Lord. took the wine and poured it in a cup, and he said to his disciples, "This is my blood being shed for you for the remission of your sins." And they had no idea what he was talking about. But you do. For the remission of our sins. In Jesus' name we remember. Dale, I'm so glad that you brought the young ones with you today. Young, good to see you. You guys are young. We like young people. We really do. We welcome anybody into this church. We just want to teach them God. When you come here, we hope that you hear something uplifting for your daily life, because we believe that when you study the Word or know about Him, it helps you in your daily life, in your school, in your jobs, finding favor with other people, because it teaches you how to talk to people, how to treat people with respect and love and compassion. Even those you disagree with, you'll find favor with if you look at them with understanding. Amen? And then you're able to talk through things. I know people here today are on such a different scale with what's going on in Washington, but I also know that they all talk about it. We can all get together and share that. There's people having divorces today over that. I read people separating lives, and I'm thinking, where's God? If you trust God, remember, if you trust God, if you believe God, then get on your knees and pray to God to help the somebody you disagree with. If you're part of the church, get on your knees and pray that He hears from God. Amen? And then after you do that, love the people that you love. Amen? That's part of God. That's where God heals. Amen? Heals us today. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah.
Okay, we just thank you, Father, and we give you praise, Lord. Father, you're the most wonderful Father in the world. You love your children so much, Lord. I know you cry for them when they cry. You heal them when they're sick. You protect them when they need protection, Father. And we know you're with us all the time, Lord. You never leave us or forsake us, Father. And I know you're with Cindy and David right now, Father, right there in their room with them, helping them get through this, Lord. And we give you glory and praise. And Father, I ask for blessings over all the people that are here today, Lord, who love you and want more and more of you, Lord. I ask them to go with them, Lord, today in their cars as they go home. Keep them safe, Father, in their homes, Lord. Give them peace and joy and all the promises, Lord, that you told them, you give to them. They're all that belongs to them, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.